Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of Liberty State in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story in the news. Behind the news, not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And it's about the difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water and extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green. And it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. Got another scripture I want to talk about today and talk with everybody out there about today. I think it's important. Ephesians 5. This is critical to understand. Jesus wants us to know, to be imitators of him, to be followers of him, to hold him up as the example, to follow him. Ephesians 5, 2, Paul says, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But then, and this is the part, so people will read that, but this is the part that gets missed. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you. And in fact, that term greed actually can be translated several different ways. But I'll get to that here in a second. Right below that, it says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So yes, he says, walk in love. But then he says, don't be named as the sons of disobedience because wrath is apportioned for them. Right after that. So it has to be read in context. And it talks about in there, in verse 5, for this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So we're going to talk a little bit of a moral issue today. So this is named as one of those things of the sons of disobedience, okay, in Ephesians 5. We're supposed to walk in love, but if somebody is a covetous man, is greedy, trying to take someone's property through unjust gain, okay, we need to define our terms here, then those are the sons of disobedience. So this is a signpost for us. If we see people that are immoral, impure, covetous, greedy, taking people's property through unjust gain, we know that is evil. We can say that unequivocally, that's evil. And the forces behind those folks, those are evil too, okay? So we know that as a matter of just very simple Christian doctrine. So we're going to move to one of the weirdest things I have seen in a long time. And this is going to be a little bit of information that you have not heard on mainstream media, so you may want to get a pen or paper. This is going to be information that is direct from the front lines, from the sources. This is information, too, that has some very startling parallels to a book by Shelby Gallagher called The Great State. And we actually had Shelby Gallagher on the show a year ago talking about this exact thing that I'm about to brief you on here. But first, if you're driving, you have a chance, pull over. We're going to pray. We're going to take some time and pray. Lord Jesus, we just lift our president up to you, and we ask for protection over him right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask also that the generals that are coming against him and acting in a treasonous manner, Lord, that they would be removed from their positions. And Lord, I ask too that the hearts of America would, and Americans would be turned toward you again. And Lord, that you would just give us your great wisdom, pour out your wisdom and your discernment in this time right now. And Lord, we just want to thank you for this country. We want to thank you for our Constitution. We want to thank you for freedom and liberty that you have given us, Lord. And God, we just humble ourselves before you today, right now. And all the things that we know of and we don't know of, we just repent of those things. We lay them down at the foot of the cross right now. And Lord, we know you're going to restore our land for the people that are praying that. And we just wait in joyful anticipation for what you're doing right now, because you are moving, Lord, and we want to be ready to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so here's what happened. Antifa, a domestic terrorist organization, according to the President of the United States. I want to read a tweet, because I thank President Trump for finally coming out publicly and recognizing who the actual domestic terrorists are. Now, you'll notice that the Democrats who represent these areas like Capitol Hill were the exact same ones pushing this ridiculous stuff they were doing attacking patriots in the Rampart report here just a few months ago. They were projecting onto us what they were about to do and what they were about to promote, by the way. I'm getting reports that some of these Democrats, and we're trying to get primary source documents to get this, I am getting reports that some of these Democrats are actually helping the Antifa terrorists on Capitol Hill with material support and aid. As soon as I get that, I'm going to get it out to all of you. But here's what is going on. Donald Trump, our great president, just yesterday tweeted the following. I want to read this. This is the president of the United States. So Antifa took over this autonomous zone, posted on barricades a sign that said, "You are now leaving the United States of America, the USA." Okay? They have made and put forth a list of demands. Some of them are so outrageously ridiculous, but they're not outrageous to the Marxist and to the communist, because this is what they use. This is how they do things. They try to do things that are just absolutely beyond the pale. And they have apparently said that they are seceding from the United States of America by doing this. Now, do you remember all the people are saying, "Well, you can't do Liberty State because that's a secession." It's not a secession. It's in the Constitution of the United States. It's a vote. It's a process. We follow the process. We follow the Constitution. We're upholding the Constitution. Exactly what we should be doing. These guys took by force land in the United States of America and seceded. And the governor of this state doesn't have the courage at all to go in there and clean them out. And I have some people who have a ridiculous moral equivalency with creating a new state or seizing Capitol Hill. It doesn't even, they're completely alternate universes. So it's no wonder. It's no wonder the president of the United States last night tweeted and said, "Look, you got to get this under control, Governor Inslee." It's unbelievable. He first called the governor a radical and leftist, and then said this, that that Governor Inslee better get it under control or Donald Trump would. And you know what? He's absolutely right. That is exactly the constitutional thing, because what is happening on Capitol Hill is by definition an insurrection against the United States of America. And the Constitution makes very clear provision for that. But then he tweets this. Domestic terrorists have taken over Seattle, run by the radical left Democrats, of course, law and order. That's what Donald Trump said last night. And he identified the actual domestic terrorists in this country finally. Now, I have been pilloried for calling this out for over 2 years. And it sure enough ends up that the Democrats who did it in Washington State are the ones that are allowing this to happen on Capitol Hill. Every single person listening to this radio show today, everybody listening, you should ask your local elected officials this question. And I don't care if they're a sewer district commissioner. Every elected official, every pastor, you should ask them this question. Will you publicly condemn Antifa, the John Brown Gun Club, the Socialist Rifle Association, Redneck Revolt, and their enablers in the Democrat Party? Will you condemn them publicly? Because these people are literally trying to overthrow the United States of America and our Constitution. That is what their objective is. And you can see it. You can see it in their demands. No law and order. They're seizing property. And I'm going to get to some of these specific examples here in a second. In addition to that, they're actually now a warlord that is taking over Capitol Hill. I mean, it's super easy to condemn that, isn't it? Because it goes against everything that we believe in America, right? Have you heard the Speaker of the House condemning it? Have you heard the Governor of Washington State condemning it? Instead, the Governor of Washington State actually mocked the President last night. Radical left Governor Jay Inslee and the mayor of Seattle are being taunted and played at a level that our great country has never seen before. Take back your city. Now, if you don't do it, I will. This is President Trump tweeting this. This is not a game. These ugly anarchists must be stopped immediately. Move fast. I am also getting reports now, very quickly. Need to share this with everybody. I'm getting reports as well now that this same group is targeting Kent, Washington for the same thing. And also I'm hearing reports, and I haven't confirmed these ones yet, but that friendly law enforcement officers are packing their lockers right now to get out of there. Now, the fact of the matter is it does look like they're going to start targeting other cities. There was vandalism in Colville, Washington, apparently. There also appears to be some other things in the offing, and I want to go through those here in a second. Sandpoint, and this is published in the Sandpoint Reader. The BLM, Black Lives Matter, are making demands up in Sandpoint. Also, protesters are supposed to be in Libby, Montana today at 5 o'clock. And the Black Lives Matter protesters, apparently, are, quote, demanding change and issuing statements on the militias at the marches. But guess what? The fact that armed Americans showed up doesn't mean, A, that they're a militia, but they are technically, according to the Constitution, because they're able-bodied people between the ages of 18 and 45. But here's the thing. They don't want us defending our businesses because they want to wreck them. They want to burn them to the ground. Why would you ever come out with a statement against them unless you knew they were stopping you from what your true agenda was? And this, that was in the Sandpoint Reader. Also have reports of some odd activity in Priest River, Idaho, too. And the fact that these guys are going to have these little bands of malcontents going out into rural areas. Now, interestingly enough, this coming to us from Alex Jones on InfoWars. And I really think this is important. There appears to be a pretty significant issue developing in the United Kingdom, and here it is. Nigel Farage was taken off the air after calling the Black Lives Matter a far-left Marxist organization, quote-unquote. Farage has been on the show since 2017. Here's the interesting part about it. They're trying to say that these are not communists, these are not socialists. So I'm going to break this right now. I have a primary source document sitting in front of me that was sent in by a great listener. Black Lives Matter, revolt to revolution. This is the quote. SWP TV live discussion, and it has a list of different people. And it says, live, hashtag Black Lives Matter, revolt to revolution, Saturday, June 6th, 5 p.m. Who is it hosted by? You ready for this? Because these are supposed to be not communists. These are supposed to be not socialists, right? You ready for this? The Black Lives Matter live TV discussion was hosted by, wait for it, the Marxism Festival and the Socialist Workers' Party, both of which Communist Front organizations, by the way. Okay, so how are they not communists and socialists? That's exactly what these people are. They follow a very clear timeline. They release prisoners prior to social unrest, and I was warning about this 2 months ago, and because these prisoners are being released from prison for no reason. COVID was given as a reason. It wasn't a reason. It didn't even make sense medically. And now it has culminated in what's happening on Capitol Hill and what may be happening in Kent, Washington. This is happening in America right now. In America right now. And last year, when we were starting to compile all the people that were behind this stuff and exposing them for who they are, you know, they were saying, it's never going to happen in America. It'll never happen in America. And then here, sure enough, it is. So this autonomous zone is now being run by effectively a warlord, according to this InfoWars article, named Roz Simone. And apparently there's video of them, him and his gang there, assaulting a person, kicking him in the head. And then there are some really disgusting tweets in favor of this guy. And even more interesting than that, they're now going around and apparently extorting businesses for money. And I want to read a primary source quote coming from social media by Marcus S. This was posted yesterday at 11:38 p.m. last night. I'm a business owner in the area. This is talking about Capitol Hill. My business was entered this evening by a group of six free Cap Hill participants who requested I pay $500 to help finance what they said was community security and protection. Guess who used to do that? The mafia. And oh, by the way, that's extortion, a crime in America. They said they will accept cash or Bitcoin. Bitcoin obviously would be harder to trace. They're supposedly coming back tomorrow to give me a digital wallet because this guy wanted to pay Bitcoin. This is full on anarchy that is occurring in America. In America, and people are trying to say that Trump is somehow out of line for wanting to do something about it. Just simply not true. Simply not true at all. I also want to highlight something that's going on right now too. And again, the title of the article in InfoWars, you can go see this for yourself, is that, I want to read this verbatim here. And oh, by the way, how come nobody's condemning this on the Democrat side? Again, why is nobody condemning these things? Quote, this is from the police, says police, colon, quote, warlord Raz reportedly extorts businesses, collects protection money in Seattle Autonomous Zone. And Trump wants to do something about this. And here's a more disturbing thing. This morning, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, publicly came against the President of the United States. And you can see this. There's a bunch of different articles online about it. He said that he apologized for being with President Trump when he walked to St. John's Church in Lafayette Square in Washington, D.C. and held up a Bible. He's also the guy that apparently is advising the president not to take some pretty significant actions to quell the insurrection in America in Seattle. Now, groups like Understanding the Threat that have been detailing this stuff for a long time have been talking about the fact that these generals have been briefed on the Marxist and jihadi threat in America, and they've continually refused to do anything about it. And this is not just military leaders and, you know, high-level federal law enforcement leaders. This is also down at the local level where people have been briefed here in Spokane County, for example, about the threat and did nothing about it for years. And now these generals are coming against the president? Why would that be? Are they trying to foment a coup in America? Because they have some sort of ties to Marxists? Well, that's interesting that that point comes up. Because former strategic planner for the National Security Council tweeted something very interesting recently, too. And if you don't follow him, I would strongly urge you follow Rich Higgins on Twitter. Couple of things that he posted. One, Biden claims that Trump will steal the election. So guess what? If they're projecting, guess what they're going to try to do? In addition to that, Rich Higgins came out very strongly against General Mattis. And here is the quote from his Twitter. Since Mattis broke his silence, I will break mine. Now, you got to understand, Rich Higgins was at the highest levels. That's how you get to be a strategic planner in the National Security Council. Mattis assessed the administration through an individual who was fired from the transition team. The reason for the firing? That individual who brought Mattis in was meeting with the Chinese and Vietnamese communists in Beijing. Check out the tweet for yourself. This is happening here, right now. Communists always try to foment chaos so that they can have more communism, more socialism brought in. So check out these articles online for yourself. The New American also has an article, Extortion and Armed Guards in Seattle Cop-Free Zone. Trump calls for order. This is going to get out of hand if they keep going into rural areas and trying to do this stuff. It's going to get out of hand. And the one thing that has stopped them have been patriots defending businesses and churches against this lawless horde. These miscreants. Now, I'm going to end with one bright spot. This comes from a tweet from Anarchomastia. Okay, and somebody sent this one in too. This is actually kind of humorous. Quote, the homeless people we invited took away all the food at the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. We need more food to keep the area operational. Please, if possible, bring vegan meat substitutes, fruits, oats, and soy products. Anything to help us eat, end quote. Oh, of course it's vegan and soy. Oh, gracious. Can't grow your own vegan meat substitutes up there, can you? Oh, you can't make this stuff up, folks. You can't make it up. Here it is. So what do we do about this? Well, first of all, I think the president wanting to quell this insurrection, and again, by legal definition, this is an insurrection. They have captured territory by force. They're using armed guards. And, oh, by the way, they have declared their independence. They put a sign up that says you're leaving the USA at their barricades. That is, by definition, insurrection. And I know a lot of folks are like, wow, we can't talk that way. Well, that's what the Constitution talks about. It allows a president. In fact, it's the duty of the president to quell those types of insurrections. George Washington had to. It's interesting that we're revisiting this. And last but not least, I really want to highlight the fact that this is not localized to Washington State. The Workers' Revolutionary Collective and Occupy PHA, I think that's Philadelphia, have begun an encampment at Van Colm Memorial Field at the intersection of Spring Garden and Pennsylvania Avenue in Pennsylvania. And then you have new things popping up called the Black Lives Revolution. I had a great phone call yesterday with a black law enforcement officer. And those guys are now being attacked personally because they're refusing to buy into this Marxist narrative. Our police are being literally targeted about this. This is what Marxists do. They always target police first so they can bring anarchy. They always do it. It's going to take all of us folks out there as patriots to stand up and say enough is enough. Seattle's just going to stay over in Seattle. It's another reason for Liberty State too. We have to understand that, you know, we can have some relative safety over here in Eastern Washington, but eventually they're going to try to have a base of operations in Seattle, aided and abetted, apparently, by some of the local Democrats over there. And then it's going to spread even farther than it has. I want you to think about that for a second. That's not America. America is rule of law. It's the Constitution. Unalienable rights of life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same. Is that worth fighting for? I think it is. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And if you get a chance, go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. And tonight, pray with your family for peace in America and that these Marxists, these communists would be stopped. Take some time to earnestly pray about that. All right. We have got a lot more to talk about later in the show at the end. But right now, it's my pleasure to introduce my guest today, Ronnie Mitchum. He's a coach, and he is the author of the book, The Cost of Colors, A Coach's Story. He's an ordained minister with more than 25 years of ministry experience, and he has led different churches all across the southern United States, including Victory and Praise Worship Center, which he founded in 2004. He was the head football coach of the V&P Sharks High School football team from 2012 to 2017. Ronnie, thanks so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Well, I got to tell you something. This, you know, we don't kneel before anybody except Jesus Christ. And This is an incredible thing we're witnessing in this country. I'd love to just get your thoughts right out of the gate about what's going on and who you think is behind this and what we should be doing.
Oh, well, my thoughts are that the first thing that we have to understand is when people are disrespecting the flag that represents liberty and justice for all, that they're missing the entire point of what the flag stands. They're not holding people to the standard of the flag. They're just attacking the flag. But that goes to show the lack of knowledge and understanding of what their country is, what it stands for. They don't have any patriotism. And, you know, my heart breaks because I went through this with the football team, and maybe we talk about that a little bit, but it's disgusting. And I think that most Americans, the majority of Americans, understand what that flag represents, and we know that what they're saying and doing is just the opposite of what the flag represents.
You know, as a combat veteran who lost somebody in combat, and we had to drape his coffin in that flag, you know, this is particularly offensive. Like, it makes my blood boil when I see this stuff. And we had a person from our community that rescued the flag that somebody tried to burn the other day in downtown Spokane. But this has been going on. And I think this is what's important. This desecration of the flag, but really the attitude behind it, has been going on for years. And so if you could, tell your experience with what happened with your football team.
Well, our church sponsor. We had a Christian school, and we started a football program. We closed the Christian school, but we ended up having the football program continue, and we used homeschoolers, and we provided an opportunity for young men to play high school football that wouldn't have the chance, and we played public schools and private schools and other homeschool groups. And during the process, one of my emphasis, because I served in the United States Marine Corps, one of my emphases was patriotism, and when that flag is brought out before each game, we do the national anthem, you'll show respect. And our whole program was built on respect and the character, class, and representing Christ on the football field. And everything went good. 2016, they started kneeling. I made it clear to our team that would not be accepted by any player on the Sharks football program. 2017, two of the same players from the year before who had played with me, never mentioned it, decided they were going to kneel, and the rule was if you knelt, you'd be thrown off the football team, and because you're not representing yourself there, you're representing our program, and our program is not a place to do any kind of protest. It's a place that we all represent the program, and we are patriotic. And the two players did exactly that during the national anthem, and I removed them off the team. And then the firestorm started from the media. I was attacked as soon as I got home, the media had started calling. And, of course, they were on me and called me racist and all these things. And then, of course, the one thing, well, you're not really patriotic. You served your country, but you want to deprive these men the right to protest. And, you know, just continue battering and death threats, you name it, is what we went through. But I never budged on that and never will. And I, like you said, I will never kneel to any man but my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we have to stand up because this is destroying a generation of young people because it's destroying their minds. They are putting in their mind that that flag represents something other than what it truly represents. And most of them couldn't even tell you history of our country, but they wanted to hate our country. And so, you know, this is what you're dealing with, the media that's corrupt and willing to do anything to throw America under the bus.
So what ended up happening? How were you treated when you held your ground?
Well, by the liberals and the media and Democrats, I was attacked, you know, and even by a lot of religious people who claimed to be preachers attacked me and said that I was a racist and all these things. They even said I was called by the mother, who I never had a problem with these young men. One of them spent the night at my house before, was friends with my son. I took him to football camps with us, had a great relationship with him till this point. And that's, you know, the way I was treated was threatened. I was my ministry was trying to be destroyed. It did end our football program because of the threats. And you know, we literally had to have security at each game. We had to have security at our practice watching over us to make sure everybody was safe because of all the threats we got of these violent people who want justice but yet they're willing to resort to violence to attack anybody who disagrees with them.
Well, and they're going a great step further now here in Washington State, in downtown Seattle. I mean, my goodness, they're extorting business owners, allegedly, and doing some other stuff, too. It's incredible.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, the whole thing is they're not, they're just what they are. They're left-wing. They want to destroy our country. We want something new, but if you ask them what they want, they can't tell you because they don't know, and they're just asking for more trouble, and this, you know, get rid of the police. Like, that's really an answer. I mean, most policemen are fine people. 98% of them are outstanding people who put their life on the line every day for citizens of this country. And then you might have a few bad apples. But, hey, I don't know anything that man's involved in. There's not a few bad apples. So that's, you know, our country's not been perfect. There's been, but the main reason our country's had the issues is because the men that have been elected do not hold up to what the standard is. And so when they argue about our country, you had to stop and realize what they're doing. They need to stop and realize the men that's been in office. But America has corrected and adjusted and moved forward, but they just want to destroy it completely, history and all. Statues, anything they can destroy, they want to destroy. Just pure anarchy. And that's what they're asking for without any police.
Well, that's exactly what it is, and then they'll ride in with the solution, which is more communism or socialism or whatever,
right,
and completely destroy America. And, oh, by the way, everybody's opinions will be good except Christians, right?
That's right. Absolutely. You know, still a lot of places can't have church. We're blessed. I'm blessed to live in Texas where we've been able to have church now for a month and a half or so. And but, you know, we went along with that because they asked everybody. But now it seems to be like they're trying to purposely and, you know, attack the church and keep Christians from coming to have fellowship together. And that's because they fear the church and they fear, they know what the church is. We are the reason that they can't get what they want right now.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that Victory and Praise Church. You know, what was the response and what is the response right now about what's happening in the country, especially down there in Texas? Because, you know, here in Washington, you know, we're kind of on the front line, but how is it down in the Bible Belt?
Well, I can tell you one thing. You can't buy any ammunition because it's all been bought. And so, I mean, I don't think that the anarchists understand what they will have leashed on them. And I'm not trying to promote violence. I'm just saying people will not tolerate it. And I don't believe Texans will, for sure. And I know most of the Bible Belt will not. And nobody wants to be in that situation, but we're not going to be attacked. And, you know, at our church, I can assure you, we have plenty of, we have security guard each Sunday, and we have plenty of people that have conceal and carry, and we've all got a plan prepared in case anything like that happens. So, you know, I think most people are smart enough to realize we trust God. But I'll tell our church this. I said, we trust God and put our faith in God, but I'm going to tell you right now, he's blessed us with the great men who many of you serve in this country with Marines, Army, Navy, and Air Force, and we will defend the people of this church.
Well, and you're a former Marine as well, as I understand it, and I have seen so many veterans just stepping forward and saying, this is not what we took an oath to defend, not some bunch of hoodlums on Capitol
right.
Hill in Seattle. We defend freedom. And
right.
some of our brothers died for that. And,
yes, sir.
You know, I kind of get back to this. We have a lot of folks waking up, but there's still some people in the church that aren't
yep.
waking up to this, or they're actually playing into Satan's narrative with this.
Right.
What's your experience down there right now?
Well, I think the majority of churches, you know, are in line with what me and you would believe. But there's always those out there. You know, we've got a lot of these churches who, I mean, just let's be honest, brother. There's a lot of them don't even preach Jesus anymore. They don't preach salvation. And so they're more of a social club. And so they tend to cater to whatever society decides is what's popular, what's correct, not what the Bible says. And so, you know, you have a lot of instances to where people are, you know, some churches, we've seen some protests here in areas that you would think you would not see it. And it's because of that mind. You know, I'm convinced, and I don't mean to be ugly on here, but I'm convinced that, you know, there's a warping of the mind and twisting of the mind. A rejection of God will put you there, and I believe that liberalism is one of those things that tend to rot the mind of a man to where he thinks reasonably, and most of them have become that kind of person. So, you know, here we are. I don't see a lot going on. I really, you know, it's been pretty calm. Even when that issue happened with me, the support I got was amazing. And a lot of the big networks that came in to try to cover me on that situation, they were surprised at the response they got from the people here. And why, I don't know, because most people love their country and appreciate the men that's died and fought and gave for us to have the freedoms that we enjoyed. And I want to tell you, thank you for your service, sir.
Well, thank you for yours as well. And I mean, I appreciate that people listening to the show now know you're not alone. There are Americans all over the country that believe that the way we do. So if you could give some encouragement to the folks out there that might be kind of thinking, boy, I never thought I'd live to see the day that our cities would be on fire in America and Marxist flags would be flown quite openly in defiance of our Constitution.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, I sit in my own house and watch it on the news, and I'm shocked to seeing that basically what we're seeing from what I can see on the news is a majority of these young people, what I like to call the timeout generation. They were put in timeout instead of getting a spanking. I was spanked myself, and most people my generation got a spanking. And we understood it wasn't because our parents hated us, because they loved us and they wanted to discipline and treat us right. But we got a generation with a lack of discipline, and they haven't had anybody cared enough about them to correct them and show them the right way. And now they're acting out because they think, they just think that they can do whatever they want. But I've got news from God is in control, and he will be in control. And we as Americans will unite, and what's going on in Seattle will not take place around the rest of the country without them finding out that there really is such a thing as repercussions for your actions.
Absolutely. And there has to be. I mean, that's just the reality of life. And what we're really seeing from a lot of these people is kind of this pseudo-reality that the United States is a terrible country, that almost like the United States never did anything good, like, oh, I don't know, free Europe from the Nazis, or send the most missionaries and the most money into the world than any other country in the history of the world. You know, how do we reach this younger generation? You were a coach. I mean, you saw it on the front line. How do we reach this generation?
Well, you know, the thing that I found as a coach was most of these young men that I coach love their country. Now, I had two players out of my whole team that knelt, and we had a mixed team. We had all people of all different colors and nationalities, and so there's only two of them that did it. The rest of the team was mad because they love their country. So I think that one of the things we need to realize, you're seeing the ones that say they hate America and won't change, but there's an awful lot of good young people who have had good parents and have taught them to be patriotic and love their country. And I think they really outweigh, but the news media, of course, is always going to show the ones they want to promote and convince everybody that they're all rotten. But one of the things I can tell you, Matt, that one of the issues that I've found as a minister, years ago I was involved in a situation where I was ministering at a boys' place where they'd sent boys who'd been in trouble. And one of the things that I found was a lot of those kids were not poor kids. It's what I thought going in there, that I was going to deal with a lot of kids from poor places who didn't have much and got in trouble. Most of these kids were doctors and lawyers and so forth, business owners, kids, but they didn't have discipline. Nobody disciplined, and that's what they said. When they finally had opportunity to speak at their graduations, they'd always say, this is the first time in my life I had guidelines, I had rules, I had discipline, and I'm thankful I was here so I could get my life under control. And that's what they said they lacked growing up.
And that really is it. And I love sports because it really breaks through a lot of barriers. It breaks through a lot of ego. It breaks through a lot of self-righteousness too. And right, it develops the character, especially of young men. And that's what we need in America today.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now I would like to ask you quickly too, There's been a lot of folks talking about, you know, this raging evil in the country right now. And I've been responding by saying, look, evil is raging because God's on the move. What is your perspective on the time that we're in right now as Christians?
Well, you know, I personally believe that what you're saying is exactly right. We're of course living in the last days and have been since Jesus came, you know, and was on the cross and rose from the grave. But we're continuing to get closer and closer to that time. I believe the globalists are doing all they can to take over. I believe the church is the only thing standing its way, and of course, America being the country that allows the freedom to preach the gospel around the world, I feel like, you know, is their last place they need to destroy, and so they're throwing everything they can at America right now. But I believe America's going to survive. I think we're going to be strong, and we're going to continue to take the gospel to the world.
Amen. We are. And we, you know, it's interesting. Everybody's watching us around the world to see what American Christians are going to do with all of these things. And they take their leadership and the example from what we do here in America. I don't think a lot of Christians realize that. People around the world watch what we do as an example of what right looks like.
Right. Right. You know, I do a television program, and we go across the country on cable, but we are strong in Africa, Uganda, and many countries. We cover pretty much all of Africa with television broadcast, and they look to America for guidance and direction, and as the church in America responds to these things, they do follow. So we have to stand strong. We have to stand for what we believe in, and we cannot cave in. That's what they want us to give in, and that's why, you know, President Trump, he's been so strong. And the bombardment constantly, everything he does, he stands in front of a burnout church with a Bible, and they attack him for holding a Bible. And the pastor says she was mad because he didn't have permission, but she wasn't upset that they just burned her church down. I mean, to me, it's shocking what we're seeing in our country. But, you know, that was the 76th anniversary of D-Day that weekend. And they're storming the White House, basically storming it, and just unbelievable. We're going to survive. We're going to make it. God's going to see us through it, and we just have to do what the Bible tells us to do, and that is that we got to keep a clean heart. You know, Genesis 6:5 told us that man's heart was wicked, that God said this himself, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. But the Lord said for us in Psalms 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We just need to be a light, keep shining, keep believing, and keep going forward, and be willing to stand up for what we believe and stand up for our country, because our country is vital to the rest of the world getting the gospel.
I really appreciate that message, and there's not really much more that needs to be said, but I do want to give you the opportunity, Ronnie, if you could. People want to go read your book, they want to buy your book, they want to read more about you and your church. Where can they go?
Okay, well, you can actually get our book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble's and Zulon Christian Books, and my book details the story of what happened to me with the kneeling, and it talks about how my family was attacked, our church was threatened, our football program was threatened, and how the Lord brought us through it. And I put a lot of my testimony in there, good and bad, showing how God has mercy on us and is willing to bring us back to where he wants us if we're willing to come home.
And also Victory and Praise, if you could give a plug for that too.
Yes, sir. Well, we're in Crosby, Texas, just outside of Houston on the northeast side. We like to say we're on the right side of Houston, winning side of God. That's our slogan. And we like to say, you know, it doesn't take a big church, but it takes a church with a big heart. So we're doing all we can for the gospel. And if any of your listeners are ever in Houston, as a matter of fact, I have some friends in Washington State that come down every year whether they come in on vacation and drop by my church and visit with me. So we appreciate all of you up there, and we're praying for y'all. And, brother, I appreciate what you're doing, and keep strong and continue pushing forward.
Absolutely. Ronnie Mitchum, thank you very much. I appreciate everything you're doing as well, and thank you for being an inspiration to stand and do what's right, even when it's tough to do. Blessings to you, and keep up the fight.
Yes, sir. God bless you.
All right. Ronnie Mitchum, the author of the book, The Cost of Colors, A Coach's Story. He's also the pastor at Victory and Praise. And you can take a look at them at victoryandpraise.com. You got to read some of the stuff about this. You know, these anthem kneelers, this isn't about justice. It's about tearing down institutions and destroying institutions. I mean, for goodness sakes, there was a monument to the cavalry, and it was completely defaced. They didn't even realize that that monument was to some of the first black cavalrymen in U.S. military history. Unbelievable. And they completely defaced it. They want to erase history because without history, we lose our moorings. That's what's behind that. And then I want to end the show today with something that came out. Now, the mayor of Spokane met with Christian pastors here about a month ago, promised to support the Christians during the COVID issue, and then came out with a proclamation in favor of LGBTQ month in June. But now, then this just came in. Apparently, Spokane elected leaders have issued a statement against, quote, armed vigilantes in downtown Spokane. Well, first of all, legally, a vigilante is somebody taking retribution for something. It is not able-bodied men between the ages of 18 and 45 who are standing in defense of a business lawfully and legally and constitutionally to prevent those businesses from being burned and destroyed. So the entire premise of this letter is a Marxist premise. And unfortunately, two Republicans apparently have signed on to this, according to KHQ News. Michael Cathcart and Nadine Woodward. What on earth would prompt you to go against the Constitution and go with the Marxist, communist, socialist narrative? And oh, by the way, lie straight out and call these folks armed vigilantes, end quote, because it's not even legally true. And oh, by the way, this has been clearly established in law, in court, and apparently also, they're forgetting to mention the law enforcement officers that did thank those people for being there. And oh, by the way, the proof's in the pudding. How many of those businesses burned to the ground? How many had broken windows? How many were destroyed? Zero. Weak-kneed, prevaricating, cowardly Republicans are the designated defeat mechanism of the radical Marxists. And that's not just me saying it. That was the former planner, the former strategic planner for the National Security Council, Rich Higgins. Folks, if you get a chance tonight, go home, look up Rich Higgins' name, and read his memorandum to the President of the United States, to Donald Trump. I think it's a 7-page memorandum. Read that memorandum, and you will have a working knowledge of what is coming against this country right now. And, oh, by the way, you can then go to these elected officials and say, will you publicly condemn Antifa, Socialist Rifle Association, Redneck Revolt, the John Brown Gun Club, and the foreign state actors who are working to help foment this in the United States? And will you condemn communism and condemn Marxism? Condemn the Socialist Workers Party? Because, as I talked about at the beginning of the show, that's who was sponsoring the, quote, revolt to revolution, end quote, Black Lives Matter live TV discussion on June 6th. We need to ask our friends, our neighbors, our elected officials, our pastors, the hard question. Are you going to be on the side of the Constitution? The side of America? Or are you going to be on the side of the Marxists and keep playing into their narrative? candidly, if they keep playing into the narrative, those people should be impeached because they're going against the very foundation that they took an oath to protect. And this is not a game. For those of us that have served overseas, who have gone against radical elements, who have gone against Marxists and jihadis, we know what's coming. We know how they operate. We know that they hate America, that they want to destroy the Constitution and the country. And you can't play middle ground. You can't play it safe. You got to choose. Are you going to defend the Constitution and uphold your oath, or are you not? It's that simple. And we need to ask those questions. Again, not only of elected officials, but also of our friends and our neighbors and our pastors even. Now, with all that said, I hope this encourages you to prayer. I hope this encourages you to remain in the presence of Jesus Christ and to focus on what He would have you do and where He would have you be in this time. Because the church needs to get out beyond the four walls and help. America is burning. The souls of many Americans are headed toward hellfire. The Christian church needs to become the firefighters and get out beyond the four walls and preach the gospel, make disciples, show that tangible love before it's too late and we can't. I hope you're up to that task. In fact, I know you are. This is Matt Shea. Thank you very much for joining Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may He make this generation truly the greatest one.